لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من
شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. We praise Him who seeks His help, who asks for His forgiveness. Whoever Allah guides, no one can mislead, and whoever is misled, no one can guide him after Allah. I bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship but Allah alone, and I bear witness that Muhammad is His servant and messenger. May the peace and blessing of Allah be upon him, his household, and his companions. We continuing inshallah the explanation of the book of Aqidah
Tahawiyah.
Last time we studied, we say about Allah's unity, believing by Allah's help that Allah is one without any partners. There is nothing like Him. There is nothing that can overwhelm Him. That's where we're starting today. There is nothing like Him. There is nothing that can overwhelm Him. There is no God other than Him. He is the eternal without a beginning and the enduring without end. He will never perish or come to an end. Nothing happens except with His wills. No imagination can conceive of Him, and no understanding can comprehend Him. He is different from any created being. He is living and never dies, and is eternally active and never sleeps. He creates without His being in need to do so, and He provides for His creation without any effort. He causes this with no fear and restores to life without difficulty. We praise Allah, and we say that the author still continuing talking about the Tawheed of Allah and believing in Allah in those paragraphs. So he says that we say about Allah's unity, believing by Allah's help that Allah is one without any partners. There is nothing like Him, nothing like Him. This word comes from the verse of Allah in Quran that there is nothing like Him. So there is nothing like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is nothing resembles Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His attributes, in His names, in His actions, or in His self. And nothing resembles Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the rights of Allah upon His servants. And also there is another proof from Quran that in Surah Al-Ikhlas, Surah number 112, Allah says there is nothing resembles Him, nothing like Him, and nothing matches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also Allah said, do not make resemblance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or any partners or anyone that resembles Allah, or you think that they resemble Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, do you know anyone like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala negated that anything resembles Him. And this is out of the completion of Iman. This belief or this pillar is very necessary to one's belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is the correct belief. And the opposite deviated belief is to think or to believe about someone like Allah, and this is the belief of those who resemble Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who resemble Allah to His creation, resemble the creation to Allah, and they are called al-mushabbiha. They are called al-mushabbiha. Al-mushabbiha means the ones who resemble Allah to His creation or the creation to Allah. And al-mu'attila, or the people who make ta'til, means negate or the attributes of from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That say Allah is not hearer, is not Allah is not seeing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have the knowledge. So this is also among the false beliefs, and those who believe in that, and the group that Allah resembles His creation, they are called Al-Karramiyyah. This sect is called Al-Karramiyyah. And they are the followers of Muhammad ibn Karram, and they are deviated, corrupted sect, and they went to the extreme in affirming the attributes to Allah to the point that make Allah's attributes similar similar to his creations or to the human beings. And the Ahl Sunnah, they are medium between the two groups. So they did not negate the attributes from Allah and said Allah doesn't have those attributes, like the Jahmiyya and the Mu'tazila. Those are two names of the sects who said that Allah does not have those attributes. And Ahl Sunnah also, they are not on the other end of the spectrum who affirmed the attributes, but as the creation. But Ahl Sunnah, they confirmed and they believe in the attributes of Allah as they are, without following neither sects. So believing the resemblance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a false belief, whether saying that Allah is such like such a person, glory be to Allah from that, or just imagining that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like such and such, or like such a thing, or looks like that, or he imagined a picture in his mind. So imagining a picture in his mind and start describing Allah as so, with that imagined vision or picture. So this is also among the tamthil or resemblance to Allah, which is hated and disliked and repudiated. And nothing disables Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing that can overwhelm him, that nothing that can make him like disabled from doing or achieving. So there is nothing that makes Allah handicapped or disabled. And this is the perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah is able to do anything and everything. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said his order is to say be and it will. And also Allah said in the Quran, Allah, nothing will disable Allah in heavens or in earth, because he is the one who is all knower and he is all the almighty and all powerful. Allah said he is able to do everything and anything. And Allah said that he has the ability over everything. And many verses reiterating and emphasizing the same concept, that negating the disability from Allah and proving to Allah that he is almighty and he is the omnipotent and he is the powerful, and nothing that hurdles Allah or cripples Allah from doing whatever he wants. Glory be to him, he is the exalted. And that shows us the perfect power over everything. And there is no one but him, no one worthy of worship but him. La ilaha means there is no one but Allah, worthy of worship but Allah. And this is the word of Tawheed, this is the kalima, this is the word. And la ilaha ghayruh is exactly like la ilaha illallah, means no one worthy of worship but him. It's as if you say no one worthy of worship but Allah. And this is proving the oneness of Allah. And what does that mean? That means there is no one worthy of worship truly except Allah. Means no one worthy of worship or qualified to be worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is, we understand from that that there are lots of false deities or gods. Some people, they worship sun, they worship moon. Children of Adam, I took a covenant from you not to worship other than Shaitan. Means there are others worshipped others beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no one worthy of worship truly but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Means there are things worshipped beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it's all false. أي لا معبود حق أو لا معبود بحق مقيد بهذا القيد إلا الله سبحانه وتعالى فهو وحده عز وجل المستحق للعبادة وهذه الكلمة العظيمة لا إله غيره. الله is the only one worthy of worship. لا إله إلا الله. This is the word of tawheed. This is the word of monotheism. This is the word of sincerity. كلمة التوحيد وهي كلمة الإخلاص وهي كلمة التقوى. It is the word of piety. It's the word of taqwa. It is the word of ikhlas. Taqwa means sincerity and piety. Ikhlas means sincerity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said it is the word of oneness, it is the word of unity of Allah, and this, all those means, all those names for that word of La ilaha illallah came with its meaning and its indications in Quran. Allah called it the remaining words, the pure word. So in many verses that everybody knows. And Allah called it the covenant, Allah called it the stronghold to indicate the honor of that word. And that word have great effects on servants.
يخرج بها الإنسان من الكفر إلى الإيمان.
This is the word that a person goes out from disbelief to Islam. And he comes to the deen of Allah with that word. And this is the word whoever says while dying, he will go to Jannah. It is the word that saves the person who says it from eternally being in hellfire. It is the word
التي ترجح على السيئات كما في حديث
And this is the word that will be heavier than all the sins as the hadith narrated by Abdullah ibn Amr the hadith of the person of the card a person that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم mentioned that he will come in the day of judgment and he would be called in front of everyone and 99 records of his bad deeds will be spread in front of him as far as he can see then only a small card the palm size the hand, palm of the hand size only a card for him will be issued that it only have la ilaha illallah so it will be heavier than all those 99 records and he will go to Jannah So there are conditions for that word so it can be beneficial or it can work its effect or it can have an impact. And the scholars mentioned those conditions and they said it is like the teeth or those little humps of the tea, of the key.
لا يفتح إلا بالأسنان وأسنان هذه الكلمة هي شروطها
وهذه the teeth of the key.
جمعها صاحب معارج القبول في قوله العلم
and the author of the book of معارج القبول he said it is knowledge
والصدق والإخلاص والمحبة وفقك الله لما أحبك العلم واليقين والقبول والانقياد فدري ما أقول والصدق والإخلاص والمحبة وفقك الله لما أحبه يبقى إذن إيه الشروط السبعة اللي هي العلم أن يكون عالما إيه بها وبمعناها
So there are six conditions
العلم واليقين
knowledge sincerity
والقبول
acceptance that he accepts it
والانقياد أن ينقاد لهذه الكلمة
and he have to full submit to it
واليقين والقبول والانقياد فدري ما أقول والانقياد فدري ما أقول بعد ذلك يقول إيه والصدق
then truthfulness
ثم يدعو
and belief faith and the love
يقول إيه وفقك الله لما أحب بعض العلماء
some of the scholars they increased one
شرطا ثامنا وهو
and it is
الكفر بالطاغوت
that you have to disbelieve in طاغوت طاغوت means anything that worshipped beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the eighth one is to disbelieve in anything to be worshipped other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
طيب هل هذه الشروط يعني مشترطة لكي نحكم للشخص
Are those conditions
يعني بمعنى
انه لو ان those conditions have to be fulfilled
لا اله الا الله
for the person to be judged as he will go he will become a Muslim so do we judge a person by just saying it and do we say that he is a Muslim just by saying it or we have to inspect and inquire about these conditions to see if they are fulfilled or not answer is that is not a condition those conditions will benefit himself with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because those are conditions of the heart no one would know except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what we care about is what he says only so we just even affirm that Islam of the munafiq or the hypocrite, because he says La ilaha illallah with his tongue. So we say that he is Muslim. So we deal with him as a Muslim. We give him the rights of the Muslim, but it will not benefit him with Allah in the Day of Judgment. So those conditions for a person to benefit the reward of Allah, benefit of the reward of Allah, and save him from abiding in hellfire eternally.
طيب يقول ولا إله غيره قديم بلا ابتداء دائم بلا
ابتداء. There is no God other than him. He is the eternal without a beginning and enduring without end.
يذكر في صفة الله سبحانه وتعالى.
So he's talking about the description of Allah that he is
أن الله عز وجل قديم والقديم
eternal without beginning.
على غيره.
And the word قديم in Arabic literally means old, but this is not what is the meaning when it comes to the attributes of Allah. The word قديم means the one who comes before something. When you say something قديم means it is what comes before. But this word here does not negate the fact that maybe something it is older than or before or came before it. That's why he said here قديم بلا ابتداء. Means that's why he said he is the eternal or the first without a beginning. Means there is nothing before him. And enduring without end, continuous. That means continuous, continuing. And also he conditioned that word saying without end, because if something continuous or someone continuing to live, it doesn't mean that he will die. But for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without an end. In fact, the word قديم, it did not come in Quran or Sunnah as a name of Allah or attribute of Allah. It did not come as a name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the book of Quran or Sunnah. But the word al-qadim, it was narrated as a description of the authority of Allah. So Rasulullah said in the supplication of entering the masjid, he said, I seek refuge in Allah's face. And he said, Allah's honorable face and the authority which is qadim or which is eternal or which is qadim means before, which nothing before it. So it's a description of Allah's authority, not as a description or attribute of Allah himself. And the word ad-da'im means the enduring or the continuing, and the old hadith came with that name. It is weak narrations. That's why the scholar said the word the name al-qadim or ad-da'im, it can be used as to describe Allah's power or Allah's authority or Allah's greatness, but not to describe Allah himself. And the words as alternative for those two words mentioned in the Quran is the word al-awwal and the word al-akhir. Al-awwal, the beginning, and al-akhir, the end. Or means the last. The first and the last. First without anyone before him. The Prophet used to say, you are the first, no one before you. And you are the last, and no one after you. And you are the above, no one above you. And you are the encompassing, no one encompasses you. So the best word to use is to say, Allah, glory be to him, Allah is the exalted, is the first and the last. Al-awwal and al-akhir. Al-awwal, who is no one before him, and al-akhir, no one after him. Proof for those two names, al-awwal and al-akhir, in Quran and the Sunnah. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, everything will perish except the honorable face of Allah. Everything in this universe will perish and will finish except the honorable face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah was and nothing with him. Glory be to him. So there are many narrations emphasizing confirming this concept that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing goes with him or before him, before this creation, and Allah will stay after the perishing of all this universe. Then the author here says he will never perish or come to an end. Perishing and ending, they are synonyms. As the all the scholars who explained at Tahawiyyah, they said they are synonyms or they are close to each other in meaning. And it is why they are mentioned twice, because emphasis and more affirmation here. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the exalted, he is, glory be to him, far away from those two negative descriptions, perishing or ending, with all the verses and the narrations that we mentioned proving the same concept. And when Israfil, peace be upon him, the angel, he will blow the trumpet, then everyone in the heavens and the earth will die and perish, except whom those Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will exempt from that. And Allah said, I am the king, I am the king, where are the kings of this earth? No one will answer, and Allah will be alone after the death of all the creation. Then the author says, nothing happens except what he wills. That emphasizes destiny. Believing in destiny is one of the pillars of faith. The six pillars of faith, which is mentioned in the hadith of Jibreel, when he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is belief, what is faith? He said to believe in Allah, his angels, his books, his messengers, the day of judgment, the last day, and the destiny, it's good and bad. So believing in destiny, as we will explain it with more details later, as we notice here, or as we observe for Al-Aqidah Tahawiyyah, that the author, may Allah have mercy on him, he did not care about ordering. So he saw that believing in destiny is spread all over the book. So he spread it all over the book. He did not gather it in one place. So all, believing in destiny, he distributed among the different positions in the book. This is one of them. Believing in destiny includes four things, or we say in another way that believing in destiny have four ranks or four degrees or four stages. Number one, the stage of knowledge, knowing. The second is the stage of writing, recording. Third is willing. And the fourth is creating. So knowing, writing, willing, and then creating. So we said believing in destiny have four degrees. Number one, knowing, writing or recording, willing it, and then creating it. What is meant by knowledge? Means we have to believe that Allah knows things before they take place. Means nothing in this universe takes place except it happened with the knowledge of Allah. Then Allah knew previously that this thing will happen, the way it happened, place it happened, how it happened. So Allah knew what happened, Allah knows what is happening, and Allah will know what is happening in the future. Even the things that did not happen or will not happen, Allah knows if it was there, what would happen. As the story of Al-Khadr, peace be upon him, when he killed the boy, Rasulullah said, Allah knew that the boy who was killed by Al-Khadr, if he lived, he would transgress his parents and he will exhaust them out of transgression and disbelief. He did not live, but Allah knew if he lived, what would have happened. So whatever didn't take place, if it took place, Allah knew what would happen. So what happened in the past, what is happening in the present, what will happen in the future, whatever did not take place, Allah still knows if it happens what would go on. And also number two, the second rank is that we have to believe that Allah wrote and recorded everything before the creation 50,000 years before the creation. So Allah created the first thing, Allah created the pen, and he asked the pen, write. The pen said, what do I write? Allah told the pen to write whatever will happen and take place till the day of judgment. So the pen wrote everything will happen till the day of judgment. So this reserved tablet in which everything is written in it, we believe in it, and it is mentioned in the Quran. Allah SWT said this is an honorable book about the Quran, and it is recorded in a preserved tablet. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also made an oath by it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this is an honorable book which is in a purified tablet that no one touches it but the purified. Means the angels are the only ones who touch the tablet. Those only, not also every all the angels, but the ones that whom Allah permitted to see and review whatever written there. So Allah wrote the destiny of everything before the creation of heavens and earth, 50,000 years before the creation of heaven and earth. There is other types of writing also, which is the annual writing. So there will be a copy taken from the original tablet annually, every Laylat al-Qadr or every night of power, one copy from whatever will happen this year will come down to the Bayt of Izzah or the House of Dignity, which is above the Kaaba in the first heaven, and it will be placed there, all the destiny of the creation for the coming year. And it will be mentioned who will die, who will be born, who will get married, who will even get rich, who will be humiliated, who will be honored. Ibn Abdullah ibn Abbas, even the names of the people who will go to Hajj that year, it will be written in that copy in the night of power or Laylat al-Qadr. And this is what Allah said in the Quran about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we used to write or we copy everything that you do. In the interpretation of that verse, after a person do some action, there are the honorable angels who write all the deeds. So those angels, they write the deeds of the person, and then they ascend to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they compare it with whatever written in the preserved tablet. They will find that this is a typical copy of what Allah written 50,000 years before the creation of heavens and earth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what a human being will do. And the angels, they see and review it, and they find it's exactly a copy. And Abdullah ibn Abbas said, it is a meaning of the word that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we copy or we record everything that you do. There is another type of writing which is different from each and every person individually. For each and every person individually, when a person in the womb of his mother, after 120 days of his creation in the womb of his mother, after 40 means 120 days, as Rasulullah said, Allah will send an angel to the womb of that mother, and he will order to write four things. Number one, he will blow the spirit of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I mean his the spirit of that person in him, give him a soul, then he will write his age, whether he is happy and when he will die, and whether he will be happy or miserable. And
فهذه كتابة يعني.
So this is writing when still the person in the womb of his mother, and this is specified for every individual differently from the other. So we have to believe out of our belief in destiny, we have to believe in all those types. Number one, of course, we have to believe in the knowledge of Allah. Number two, we have to believe in his recording and writing for all the destiny of everyone and for the people altogether. Number three, or the third degree of destiny, is to believe in the will of Allah. Whatever Allah wills, it will take place. Whatever Allah doesn't will, will not take place. So here, what he wills, which the Arabic word is irada, and it is equivalent or the synonym of the word mashi'a, irada and mashi'a. So we have to believe that Allah the irada and mashi'a, whatever he wills, whatever the mashi'a for, it will take place. Whatever Allah does not have mashi'a for, it will not take place. And Allah said his order, whenever he wills something, he will just say be, kun, and it will exist. Fayakun, kun fayakun.
وقال تعالى ولكن
also Allah سبحانه وتعالى said Allah does what he wills, what he wishes, what he wants.
طيب الإرادة.
So irada or will as the attribute to Allah, it is divided to two categories. Number one, the universal will and the religious will. The first one, which the universal will, which does not change or does not alter to will every evil or good that happening in this universe. This is the universal will or the universal irada of Allah that it will always take place. That and this is means Allah wishes everything happening in this universe, whether it is good or bad, and we call it mashi'a. So when we say mashi'a, we mean irada al-kawniya or the universal irada or the universal will. The other type, which is the shar'i irada or the religious will. When Allah wishes good, Allah wishes obedience to his servants, that they have to obey him. It's only willing good. Religious will means it wills willing good, and willing means any evil or disobedience or corruption. It does not come under that type of will of Allah. And this is called mahabba or love, means anything Allah loves, it is under the category of the religious will or the religious irada, means everything Allah wants us to do religiously, this is called the religious will. But everything else is happening, whether it's good or bad, right or wrong, it is under the universal will of Allah. And the first type, which is called al-irada, al-kawniya, or the universal irada, this is the, what Allah meant in the Quran by saying, whenever he wills for something to be, he says, and it be and it will, kun fayakun. Means Allah have a wisdom for evil to take place, or calamities, or debacles, or disbelief, or shirk, or kufr, all this with the will of Allah. And they have a wisdom that we may not understand, or we don't understand. He cannot be a God, a deity, with things happening in his universe that he doesn't will. It is with his will, it is with his power. Everything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted it to take place for a wisdom, only he knows. Glory be to him. Maybe someone would say, what is that wisdom? Why Allah wills for the disbeliever to be a disbeliever? Why Allah wills for disbelief to be there, for disobedience to be there, for calamities to be there, for tests and trials and turmoil to be there? There are many ways to answer that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show his ultimate power and his ultimate ability and the effect of his attributes, because among the attributes of Allah that he is the one who revenge from the disbelievers, and he is the one who have the great power, the one who have he is the almighty. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to create creation who disobey him, and he test them and he punish them. So he shows his power above everything, that he is able to take vengeance from his enemies, and he is able to punish them, so he shows that. Also to show the effect of the attributes of Allah, that he is forgiving and merciful. So Allah wanted to create a creation that to sin and to do wrong and disobey, so they repent to Allah, he forgive them to show how merciful he is. How those attributes will be implemented without someone doing something wrong, then Allah forgive. Someone who make a mistake, then Allah have mercy on. Also Allah wanted to be worshipped in a way it will not be applicable except when there are evil people, like the worship of for example, teaching the ignorant. You cannot do that type of worship except with an ignorant person there to teach. So if everyone knows, if everyone created knowledgeable, there will be no seeking knowledge, no learning, and so on. Then Allah will not be worshipped in that way. He wanted to be worshipped through seeking knowledge. That's why he created people ignorant. Also, the worship of being patient and having sabr for the harm of the disbelievers. So Allah wanted to be worshipped for people practicing that type of worship, which is sabr, which is not going to be there without tests and trials, and to have martyrs for his sake. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to be worshipped in different ways or different applications of worship, which will not be there except with the existence of evil. That's why Allah created evil and many other wisdom types of wisdom. As we'll see later, that some of the deviated sects, they went astray because they mixed between those two types of irada, or those two types of will. They thought that it is one will, so either they believe in it or they deny it. Some of the sects, they said it is one will of Allah. Whatever Allah wills means Allah loves. Means they believe that everything Allah wills, Allah loves. So they believe that Allah likes disbelief, Allah likes debauchery, Allah likes disobedience. So if you enjoying good or forbid somebody from doing bad, they said it is with the will of Allah. Allah willed that person to steal, Allah willed that person to commit adultery. If Allah doesn't like that, he wouldn't let it happen, because they are mixing between the two types of the will of Allah, as we mentioned. So Allah wills some things, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some of the things Allah wills, Allah loves, and some of the things Allah wills, Allah hates. So Allah, maybe he hates things, but he wants it to exist. So why Allah wants things to exist while he hates it? Because it is dear to Allah with the consequence of it. It is hated in itself, but what it would lead people to do later, to seek repentance to Allah, from Allah, to and there will be good effects from that evil being existed or exist in this world, and the evil and its people there. Allah hates the evil itself, but he likes it to be there, so some people will be good. Briefly, a person should not go deep trying to investigate and inspect why Allah created that and why Allah did that, because it will lead you to nowhere, because Allah is not asked about what he does, and we have to believe in destiny as it is, and we have to submit that Allah does whatever he wants without being questioned for it. So, the fourth degree of destiny is the belief in the creation. Creation of the actions of people means whatever taking place, whether good or bad, all the actions of the people, it is the creation of Allah. The obedience of the obedient is created by Allah. The disobedience of the disobedient is the creation of Allah. Because there is no creator other than Allah, and those actions are created, and the only creator is Allah, means Allah is the one who created it. Allah said, do not take two gods, or do not worship two deities. And Allah said, and Rasulullah said in the hadith, that the Qadariya sect, they are the Majus, or the fire worshipper of this ummah. Like the people used to worship fire later on. This hadith have two opinions. It's either a statement of Rasulullah or a statement of one of the companions of Rasulullah. Because the people, Majus, they believe that there is two creators for this universe, one for the good and one for the bad. So the Qadariya, or those sects who claim that they are Muslim, they claim that the good acts created by Allah and the bad acts created by the human. Allah said in the Quran, Allah is the creator of everything. Allah khaliqu kulli shay. Allah is the creator of everything. Means anything that is called thing, it is the creation of Allah. Allah said that He created you and He created whatever you do. So Allah created people and their deeds. Rasulullah ﷺ said Allah created every professional and his profession. And here the author says there is nothing happens except what he wills. He is affirming the third rank, or the third degree, or the third type of qadr or destiny, as we said, which is believing in the will of Allah. Whatever Allah universally willed, it has to take place for sure. The shar'i irada, or the religious irada, Allah said in the Quran, Allah wishes ease for you, Allah wills ease for you, and He doesn't will hardship. Whomever Allah wants to guide, He will expand His chest and open it for Islam. Going astray, someone going astray is only a universal will, But a believer has two types of will. Allah loves for him to be guided, and Allah willed him to be guided. So he is universally guided, and he is religiously guided. Allah have the two types of will for that person. But whomever is misled, it is only the universal will. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed for that person to be astray, but Allah doesn't like people to go astray, does not like disbelief. But to fulfill the wisdom of Allah, that person has to be like that. Allah also said in the Quran, He does not want to have any burden on you. And not willing burden, or not willing people suffering from burden, it is the religious will. So anything of goodness, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed it religiously or shar'an. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills to take place, and it is good, means it is universally willed by Allah, and it is religiously willed because Allah loves it. Then the author here says, no imagination can conceive of him, and no understanding can comprehend him. Means nobody's assumption or anybody's thought or anybody's imagination will not conceive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the knowledge of the people cannot encompass Allah. Imagination or vision, or visioning it certain way, or thinking it certain way, cannot be applied to Allah. Another statement, the scholars, they differ between wahm and fahm. Wahm means imagination, which is always built on imagination, and a person trying to understand or how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, and he starts imagining that. So anything that crosses your imagination, Allah is not like that. Some of the guided predecessors said, whatever comes to your imagination about Allah, Allah is not like that. So anything you think about Allah, he is exalted from that. He is far from that. So anything your imagination reach, it doesn't matter how much you strive, Allah is beyond that. And also understanding. So there is a difference between imagination, which is wahm, and fahm. Fahm means understanding, and trying to draw analogy between anything existing and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all the branches of knowledge of the human being cannot comprehend Allah, cannot encompass Allah, or cannot be tools to understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way He is, or the way He handles things. What is the proof for that from Quran? Allah says, Allah knows what is in front of them, what is behind them, and they cannot encompass Him with their knowledge.
فإذن البشر لا يحيطون علما بالله.
So people cannot comprehend or conceive of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
نؤمن يعني أن صفات الله سبحانه وتعالى.
And we believe that the attributes of Allah will take place or be applied in a certain way, but our limited and confined understanding cannot comprehend that.
لأن الإنسان مخلوق ضعيف عاجز.
Because human is a weak, disabled, limited capability, with limited capability. He's a creation with limited capabilities. So with those limited capabilities, you cannot comprehend the perfect capabilities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
لا تبلغه الأوهام ولا تدركه الأفهام ولا يشبه الأنام.
In another, some of scripts of Tahawiyya, it says he is different from any created being. It is said in different ways in Arabic, though, but it means the same thing. So Allah does not resemble any of His creation, and in some other scripts it says none of His creation resembles Him, and both have the same meaning anyways. So it means the creation cannot resemble Allah because they are way below, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not resemble anyone because He is above and He is the highest. The resemblance which is hated or dislike means trying to put Allah in a form or a shape. Means Allah is not like any of His creation. Many of the scholars, like Imam Tahawi and the others, they said that Allah does not resemble any of His creation, or the creation does not resemble Allah. And they use the word tashbih, which means tamthil. Some other group of scholars,
عملا بالقاعدة التي عليها السلف أن النفي لا يكون.
Said that following the base which a Salaf or the guided predecessors did, that anything that you prove to Allah it has to be with a dalil, with a proof, and anything that you negate from Allah it has to be with a proof. They said there is no one verse, single verse or hadith that says negating resemblance from Allah. And here the English word is not accurate, but when we say tashbih and tamthil, there is no one single verse saying that tashbih is not there, but tamthil is what Allah said, there is nothing like Him, but nothing resembling Him. It was not mentioned in the Quran or Hadith. This is one opinion. The second opinion says negating tashbih or resemblance, some people would use it to deny some of the attributes of Allah, like people who come like Asha'ira sect, for example, they will come and say resemblance here or tashbih means creator. Among the attributes of the created is that He loves and He gets angry. So Allah does not resemble His creation, so they negate from Allah that He loves something and Allah gets angry. So they said we don't say that tashbih is negated or resemblance. Of course, the human or the creation is not like Allah in the perfection of the attribute, but in the origin of the attribute itself, He has it. So the origin of the attribute, it can be applied for Allah, it can be applied for the created. So, for example, knowledge is the attribute of the human being, and Allah has the attribute of knowledge. But the knowledge of Allah is not like the knowledge of the human being. So they share the same attribute, but the reality of knowledge of Allah is different from the reality of the knowledge of the human being. But we cannot deny the attribute altogether and say Allah is not knowledgeable because the human being is knowledgeable. Allah doesn't see because the human being sees. But we say that both of them see, but the way Allah does it is not like the way a human does.
فلذلك يعني قالوا الأحسن إن احنا لا نستعمل لفظ نفي التشبيه، لأنه قد يفهم منه يعني أننا لا نصف الله سبحانه وتعالى بصفة.
So it's better not to say resembling, but
بصفات يتصف بها المخلوق، ولكن هي في حق الله يراد بها.
So resembling in the attribute, but not resembling in the reality of the attribute.
يعني يليق بعجز المخلوق وضعفه.
Means the resemblance here is in the origin of the attribute, but not in the meaning or the way it is.
الله سبحانه وتعالى يختلف يعني عن عما هو في حق المخلوق. كما ورد في الحديث مثلا أن الله سبحانه وتعالى جعل الرحمة 100 جزء.
As the hadith says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created mercy 100 parts, 99 Allah kept for himself, and one he gave it to human beings to deal with each other with. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shares mercy with people. So Allah is merciful and people are merciful. So one part of 100 parts of the mercy of Allah.
تليق بعجز المخلوق وبضعف المخلوق، ورحمة الله تعالى تليق بكماله. لكن على كل حال يعني المراد المؤلف هنا يعني لا يشبه الأمان أو لا يشبهه الأمان، يعني أن الله تعالى ليس مثل الخلق، وإن كان له أسماء وصفات تشترك مع أسماء وصفات المخلوقين في اللفظ والمعنى، لكن في الحقيقة والكيفية لا تشابه بينهم.
So we can say that the descriptions and attributes of Allah they resemble in having the same characteristic, but they do not resemble in having the reality and the application of that characteristic. Then the author says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is living and never dies and is eternally active and never sleeps. So among the names of Allah is Al-Hayy. And it is a description also that Allah is the alive. So the one of the name of Allah is Al-Hayy, and it is also include or it indicates the characteristic of Allah that He is alive. So His name is the alive and Al-Hayy, and His description also that He is Hayy. But also the life of Allah is different from the life of the creation, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the human or the created with the same description. Allah said, and we made from water everything which is hay, means alive. But the life of the created is not, or the creation is not the life, is not the same exact life of the creator. Because the life of the created has a beginning and has an end, and it will be followed by perishing, and in between its beginning and the end, it has defects. A person sleeps, a person is weak, a person is disabled from doing things, he is heedless of something, he is not aware of something, he is forgetful and so on. Contrary to the life of Allah, glory be to Him, which have no defect in it, and it was not preceded by it does not have a beginning, it does not have an end, and it is not exposed to any sleeping or to any heedlessness or any weakness. Also, the life of the creation is derived from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or Allah is the source of that life. Because the life of Allah, it is a characteristic of Him, glory be to Him. But the life of a human being is a temporary characteristic. He was not alive, then he became alive, then he will not be alive, then he will become alive later on. So it is a temporary characteristic. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is living and never dies, means it's not followed by end, death, like human being. And He is Qayyum. The word Qayyum means the one who is dependent, independent, the one who is independent, means and the one others dependent on him. And this is the word of Al-Qayyum means. Means he's independent by himself and others are dependent on him. Means they need him. He doesn't need anyone, but everybody else or everything else needs him. That is the meaning of the name Al-Qayyum. Without Allah's support to skies and heavens and the earth, they will never exist in their current shape and their current way of existing.
قال سبحانه وتعالى إن الله يمسك السماوات والأرض أن تزولا.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah is the one who is holding the heavens and earth from perishing, and nobody else can do so. And if Allah wants them to perish, no one else can prevent that. And Allah described Himself that He is the one who is accounting everyone with what they did. And Allah said in Ayatul Kursi that He is Al-Hayy, the living, Al-Qayyum, the independent. So here he says, the author says, eternally active and never sleeps. The characteristics of Allah, or the attributes of Allah that we affirm to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are some two types of attributes. One are the attributes of perfection that we affirm and agree or believe in, that it belongs to Allah, and the attributes of defects that we negate from Allah. So some attributes that we affirm to Allah and some attributes we negate from Allah, like for example sleeping and dozing off and weakness. And the Rasulullah said, Allah does not sleep and he's not supposed to sleep, or it is not one of his characteristics to sleep. In the author says, He creates without His being in need to do so, and provides for His creation without any effort. So He creates without needing them to be created. So Allah created them not because He needs them. Means the creation, when one of us creates something or manufactures something with the permission of Allah, of course.
وفي الحديث من هذا الذي ذهب يخلقك كخلقي.
So in the hadith it says, who is the person who is making a statue? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, who is trying to create someone like me? And the word khalaq in linguistically means manufactured or made something.
أوجد شيئا يوجده لحاجته.
When a person creates something, he creates it because he needs it. To look good, or to make his life easy, or to sell it, or to use it in a way that he needs and make his life easy. So we do things because we need it. But Allah made us, not because He needs us. So why He created them then? So He created them to worship Him. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I haven't created jinn or humans except to worship me. So Allah created the creation not because He needs them, they are the ones who need Him. So He created us to worship Him. So Allah doesn't need them to help Him or to support Him or anything. Allah, glory be to Him, He doesn't need His creation. But Allah created them to worship Him. He provides for His creation without any effort. Means there's no burden on Him for providing to His creation. So He provides for His servants and His creation without this being a burden on Him, or without this costing Him any effort.
ويدل على ذلك أدلة يعني منها حديث أبي ذر.
And this is proved by the hadith narrated by Abu Dharr. May Allah be pleased with him.
يقول صلى الله عليه وسلم.
He said that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه
وسلم said عن الله سبحانه وتعالى في حديث القدسي هو أوله يا عبادي إني حرمت الظلم على نفسي إلى آخره.
that he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I forbid transgression for myself, and if all of you, beginning and the end, your jinn and your humans, they all stand in one place and they asked me, and I give everyone his question, this will never decrease my kingdom, except what needle will decrease from the water of the ocean. If you put a needle in the ocean, whatever it decreases the water, this is how all you, if you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will decrease his treasures. It doesn't mean that doesn't, it means it doesn't decrease anything, because it does not burden Allah, it does not decrease his resources. And also it came in the hadith that people of the Jannah, may Allah make us all among them, that they gather in every day of Jum'ah, and it would be called in the Day of Judgment Yawm al-Mazid, or the Day of the Extra. Allah would tell them, O my servants, ask me, wish whatever you want. They will wish until they will have no more wishes to do, no more wishing to do. They will ask Allah first to his pleasure. Ya Allah, we ask you your pleasure to be pleased with us. He said, you are here because I'm pleased with you. So ask me something else. They will keep asking, asking, asking until they quit. They don't have anything to ask. So everyone will keep wishing until he have all the things crossing his imagination, and Allah would fulfill. Allah would fulfill everything that they asked. And Allah will give them more than they never heard of, they never seen, and they never imagined, things that nobody knows. So Allah will give it to them extra. Also, it came in the other narrations of hadith of Abu Dharr that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the way I'm giving is just words, and my forbidding are words. Means when I give someone, I just say the word. It is not something physically existing there, and it decreases my kingdom, because I just say and it is. I said be and it is. So Allah says kun fayakun, and he gives, and Allah said kun fayakun, and he stops from giving. So it is not like something there, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving, it will decrease. And if Allah wants all this universe finish at 1 second, he'll just say one word and all this universe perishes, and he create another one. So it is just one word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is not a burden on him in that regard. He causes death with no fear and restores to life without difficulty. Means, glory be to him, he is the one who causes death to anybody who is alive. When their turn comes, he causes them to die. When their term is fulfilled and the time Allah wants to them to die, they will die without being afraid from doing so, without any fear of them. Glory be to him. So if they are there alive, they don't scare Allah, or he's not fearful of them. And if they die, Allah is not fearful of making them die. And this is because his utmost and his ultimate greatness and power. And here is the resurrects, or he restores without any difficulty, because Allah will resurrect everyone in the grave, and he will restore them to life again for the last day, for the day of accountability, without any difficulty. And this is also a proof of Allah's power and Allah's ability. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes everyone to die, and their bones will be like dust, and then Allah will restore them with one word, and he gathers them again, and he will bring them back again with his power without any difficulty.
وطبعا البعث أدلته كثيرة، منها قول الله سبحانه وتعالى: ما خلقكم ولا بعثكم إلا كنفس واحدة. هذا دليل على قدرة الله سبحانه وتعالى. وقوله عز وجل: وهو الذي يبدأ الخلق وهو أهون عليه.
Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran that he is the one who created this universe and he will restore it back again after perishing it. And it is very easy because he, as it was easy for him to make it come to exist, it's easy for him to make it perish, and it's easy for him to restore it again. And this is a verse of Quran, many other proofs in the book of Allah. From the next lesson we will start inshallah from that.
نكتفي بهذا القدر ونسأل الله تعالى أن ينفعنا وإياكم بما قلنا وسمعنا، وأقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. سبحانك اللهم ربنا وبحمدك، أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت، أستغفرك. أخونا يسأل يعني هل هناك تعارض بين أن الله سبحانه وتعالى خالق بلا حاجة،
understand that Allah creates without need to this creation, and also how Allah سبحانه وتعالى created them to show the impact of his attribute. The answer is there is no contradiction for may seem like an ostensible or apparent contradiction. First of all, we have to understand that Allah does not have need, and Allah is able to show the impact of his attributes without creation. So Allah doesn't need a creation to prove his attributes, because Allah is able to do everything. Allah does not need his creation, so he does not need to prove his attributes he does not need creation to prove his attributes. But it is the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
الفرق بين المعنى والكيفية. كنا أسأل عن الفرق بين معنى الصفة وكيفية الصفة.
The question here is what is the meaning of the attribute and the reality of the attributes.
هو ما يستفاد من لسان العرب ولغة العرب.
The meaning is the linguistic meaning and what comes from the usage in Arabic language and the guided predecessors how they understand. So we understand the meaning of the attribute. We affirm the meaning and we understand. For example, let me give you an example so you can understand that better. The attribute of the of Allah that He is above His throne. Allah says in the Quran that Ar-Rahman is above His throne. The word istawa, what is the meaning of it? Does this word does it have a meaning? So why Allah gave us a word without a meaning? So some people, they said those all the attributes of Allah, it is doesn't have meaning. Like the words Allah, the letters Allah gave in the beginning of words like Alif, Lam, Mim and so on. Or this is a language that we don't understand. It's not Arabic, so we don't understand. This is one sect, divided sect. They are called Al-Mufawwida. Means they say, we don't know this. And some people they think that the guided predecessors are mufawwida, means they are ones who don't understand. Some of them said that the guided predecessors they don't understand the meaning of the attributes and they make it like gibberish words that they don't know the meaning of. But when we see the companions how they said that in the what is the interpretation of that word that Allah is above His throne? They said the word istawa.
وعلى وارتفع
they said means he is sitting above his throne.
يعني وردت عن السلف في تفسير استوى.
They said
صعيدة على العرش.
صعيدة means he went above his throne and he is settled on his throne and he is above he is sitting on his throne. So all those meanings they are the famous ones from the companions and the guided predecessor and the Imam Ibn al-Qayyim.
وكذلك ارتفع الذين فيه من نكران وكذلك صعد الذي هو صعد الذي هو رابع وابو عبيد صاحب الشيباني يختار هذا القول في تفسيره.
And then Ibn al-Qayyim make poetry to prove this meanings.
يعني بعض السلف فسرها تفسيرا خامسا وهو ايه جلس او قعد
Some of them said that Allah sat, but this interpretation is not there. Many of the Imams, they proved it, that Mujahid, Ibn Jabr, the companion of Abdullah ibn Abbas, and many others. Many of the people of Sunnah, they said like that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sitting on his throne. And other group, they said, we don't want to call it like that. But the meaning of the word istawa, linguistically we know, we understand, and we comprehend the way we use the word istawa means they know. When we say the word istawa, they know. But when we come to kayfiyya, or how it is applied to Allah, we know the meaning of the attribute, how it is done, but we don't know how Allah is doing it. So we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sat on the throne in a way different from his creation, sitting on anything. So the way Allah does it, we don't know, but we know that Allah is doing it. So the way Allah is sitting on the throne, you imagine that a person, a king, is sitting on a chair of the kingship, or the the chair or something like that. You know that the word istawa means that for a human being. So we believe that Allah istawa, but in another way, different from that. Not a way we saw, not a way we heard of, not a way we understand or imagine. It is a way that only fits Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and only He knows. Allah does not need the throne itself to start with. The creation needs the chair to sit on, needs floor to sit on, but Allah doesn't need anything to sit on. The throne itself, it needs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when Allah created it. So we believe that Allah has an attribute, but the guided predecessors, they say only Allah knows the way, but the attribute is there.
Two questions. First one is about the issue of the, as we mentioned in the science of the fundamentals of Hadith, Hadith al-Ahad, which is narrated by only one person at one stage. He said, what is the fruit of that? Of course, the fruit of that is some people, they said, this Hadith is not an argument, or it's a sound, is not a sound proof for issues of Aqidah. And they talk about the issue of denying this Hadith of Ahad. Is it among the things that a person would be kafir or a disbeliever or so on, and many things like that. As we mentioned, the original madhab is that hadith of Ahad when it is famous and everybody agrees and it is supported by other opinions and other narrations, we take the aqidah about that. Second question, the issue of shafa'ah or intercession. Why Mu'tazila denies it, even though that shafa'ah had mutawatir hadith, means strong hadith narrated by many people, and they prove aqidah by the mutawatir or by the hadith which is narrated by a group of people. Of course, there are types of intercession. There is a shafa'ah to start accounting people. This one they agree on and they believe on, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will intercede for the starting of accountability. What they deny is that what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will intercede for the people who entered the Jahannam. Because out of the belief of the Mu'tazila is whoever enters hellfire, he will never go out of it. So they don't believe that the Prophet will intercede for someone. So they say this hadith ahad and they... Here says the issue of Allah, if He universally wills for a person to be a disbeliever, like Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab, for example. And the issues here, and they are the ones who were ordered to do things. So this issue, destiny, about destiny, it is in Tahawiyah and Aqidah, is at the end of the book. We will mention, inshallah, when we get there, that ability or knowing. Initial answering for that. So to ask Abu Jahl to become a believer, it is something he could do. It doesn't mean that it's something he couldn't do, and that's why he stated as a believer. But we say being able or capability or ability to do something, two types. Number one, the physical ability and the presence of the means and the tools. They are the conditions and they are the means which existed there and they could use it. The ability, which means the support of Allah to do something, it was not there and it is not a condition for people to be responsible. Allah said about the disbelievers, they were not able to hear and they were not able to see. What does that mean that they were not able to see or not able to hear? That means they were dumb and deaf or blind? No, they were able to see physically and they were able to hear physically. They have the ears and they have the understanding. But so they had ears and they had eyes. So they have that type of ability. But and this is the condition for accountability. Nobody can do something that Allah did not will to happen. And this is not on a condition of the accountability. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not overburden something with something they cannot do. But for guidance, ability of guidance means they're guided to do, this is the will of Allah. If it is missed, like a person who cannot hear or a person cannot pray while he's standing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala excuses him. Who cannot make Hajj, he is not accounted for Hajj. So this is the ability to do something. But no one would come and steal and commit adultery and said, I couldn't stop. I had to continue because Allah did not will me to stop. We said we could do physically. You are ordered to do it.
وهذا الموضوع إن شاء الله المؤلف سيذكره في آخر الكتاب إن شاء الله.
فاضل بس ثلاث دقائق في التسجيل يعني.
طيب.
لكن اجابه سريعه يا شيخ لو سمحت، الاخوه يسالون على الفرق يعني الفرق بين الصمد والقيوم.
الفرق بين الصمد والقيوم؟ القيوم ذكرنا معنى القيوم.
The difference between الصمد and القيوم, we mentioned that قيوم means the one who is independent, who does not need anybody, and everybody is dependent on him. This is the meaning of القيوم. The meaning of الصمد, it has many interpretations. Among them, first interpretation is الصمد means all the creations they are in need to him. With that meaning means it becomes synonyms now. With that interpretation it becomes they become synonyms. Other interpretations like Samad means he is the master who is perfect. And other interpretation means the one who does not have a body or does not have a shape. This is the word Samad. Means he does not eat, he does not drink. Allah said in the Quran that he is the one who feeds and he is never fed. He does not need food, he does not need drink. And the person have intestines, have stomach, have all this because he needs to eat. Allah doesn't have that because he doesn't eat or drink. And this is the meaning of the word as-samad, as a way Allah knows, not a shape that comes in our mind. Among the meanings of the word as-samad becomes like a synonym to al-qayyum or close to it. We stop here and we ask Allah to benefit us what we said and what we heard. Praise be to Allah, glory be to Him. We bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship but Allah, and we seek His forgiveness.